Okay, fantastic. Hey, if you've got a Bible, turn to Genesis. Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We'll be there in a little bit. But we're getting kind of towards the end of a series we've been on. And just kind of giving you a little bit of the behind the scenes with just kind of my mind. Okay, as my mom would say, you could put my brain in a bird, it would fly backwards. But when I look at things, we were in our team, our creative team, Tim's on that team, and they just threw out just the serious thought of, hey, what about the road? And I'm like, okay, well, let me think on that, let me look at it. And then that's kind of how it all came about. And then I started looking, okay, in the scriptures, because that's where I always go, because that's what we want to know, that's what we understand, because the scripture says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's word. Therefore, understanding God's word will help your faith to grow if you trust it. And so it's just an incredible thing. So then I came across John chapter 14, verse 6. And that was where, Thomas said, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And then Jesus said, I am the way. And then when I looked up that word in the original language in which it was written, that's just the word for highway or the word for road. And therefore, Jesus said to him, I am the way. In other words, and we've said this every week, and I'll say it again next week when we're done, all right? Is that Jesus said, I am the road. And when you substitute the road in for way, it really helps you understand. And it helps you see it differently, because we still use the metaphor today. I came up to a fork in the road, and I had to make a decision. Well, it wasn't a literal fork in the road. It was a major decision in your life, and whichever direction you chose was going to majorly change not only who you are, but the direction you were going. And you would look back on this time as that whatever decision you made, it changed a whole lot of things. Okay. Well, we understand the concept of road. So Jesus noticed this though. There's a subtle difference in this. We pointed this out every week. We're still kind of in review mode, okay? And when Jesus said, I am the way, notice he didn't say, I've come to show you the road. He said that he is the road. Hence, this series, The Road, is built on that. Because when you look in the scriptures, there's a whole lot about roads. And the use of it. And so, anyway, so that's where we've been. And so, in the weeks, the first week that we started this, I shared with you that John passage, and then we talked about departure, a decision to depart. Because it doesn't matter how much you know about the road. The real question is, are you on the road? That's the key. And I know a lot of people that know about Jesus. But are they on the road? Are they in Christ, as the scripture would say? So the question really is, has there ever been a time in your life that you put your faith and trust in the road? Okay, I am the way. In fact, early believers, that's what they were known as, the road, the way. Okay, and so that's what we talked about the first. And then the second week, we talked about directions. This all has this road theme, is that basically we saw that in that week is that the scriptures are our GPS. And you input into a GPS your destination. And whatever destination that you input will determine the directions that this GPS thing is giving you, right? If you put in the wrong destination, your directions are going to be all foul, okay? But if you put in the right destination, then it'll take you there. And that's going to be next week, by the way. Destination is next week. Hey, don't miss next week. I'm kind of letting my imagination run a little bit, and we're going to take a look. What does the scripture says that our death? Where are we headed? Yes, we are to have joy in the journey, but we're to be all about where we're heading. We are citizens of another country, and I'm not going to tell you any more than that. But what does that look like? Because the common conception of what our destination is today, people have all these things. Well, I'm going to play tennis and I'm going to. Okay, that's what they've come up with. But what does the scripture say? We're looking forward to share with you that next week. All right? Destinations next week. Okay. And so directions. Okay. You set in the destination, you head off. We found out the scriptures and really how important it is for for us to be in a group, a Bible study, smaller than this crowd, because so that you can ask questions. That's why we have a really, really need, a brand new men's Bible study we're kicking off. That's going to be a week from this week. It's going to be on Monday morning real early, or it's going to be Wednesday night at around 6:30. If you guys like to be a part of that, you saw the one with the women's Bible study. We've got lots going on. If you want to be a part of one of my discipleship groups that I'll be starting here in the next couple of weeks. I mean, that's what direction is all about, finding out for yourself, what does the Scripture teach me, okay? So we did directions. Last week we did distractions, okay? Distractions. Now, distractions are things that you allow. And distractions, when you're alone, I'm going to tell you what, when you're driving, distractions can be lethal. That's why you have all this text stuff out, because, you know, you can always tell when somebody's texting and driving, okay? Because it looks like figure S's, right? As they're trying to stay on the road. And so, becoming distracted gets us off track and gets us going different directions. Now, okay, which brings us to today, is detours. Let me tell you about today. Okay, there's going to be a good percentage of you that after today, you're going to say, Lord, you had me here today because I needed to hear that. Okay, this is not because I'm saying it. It's because it's in the Scriptures, and there's not anybody in the room who is a believer who would say that doesn't apply to me. Because when you look at the detour, think about this in your brain. All right, number one, if you want to take down some notes, defining the detour, okay? Defining the detour. What is a detour? A detour, think about it. A detour is something that is beyond your control. The detour is something where it was not your fault. Therefore, you come upon a road that's out, a bridge that washed out, or there's road work ahead, and they detour you, and they take you miles out of the way to get around and come back. Okay? Or, and I don't mind those detours as much. Let me tell you the ones I really mind. Okay? Is you're heading down the interstate, and it only takes a glitch. Okay? There's nothing worse, but when there's a little hiccup, there's a wreck, there's something, and the interstate becomes a parking lot. Okay, the worst place for this is Atlanta, Georgia. All right? When we go home, we have to go through Atlanta, unless you want to go through every small town in Alabama that there is. All right? So we head up through Atlanta to Chattanooga, and we cut across. But I'm here to tell you, Atlanta's the worst. Okay? When I lived in Savannah, Georgia, I lived there for 6 years. Atlanta hadn't gotten that big. But they not only have a loop, but they have an outer loop. The place is a monster to get through. And how many of you are from Atlanta? All right? Oh, a handful of you. Boy, I asked the question last night, and I think half the crowd was from Atlanta. All right? But if you've ever been through that, I try to time getting through Atlanta about 2:30 a.m. It's the best time to go through Atlanta. There's nobody there, and you can go right through. But I tell you what, if there's a hiccup, you're going to be sitting for hours, and it absolutely drives you nuts. But it's not your fault. Okay, now here's the picture, guys. The Scripture teaches us in Proverbs 16:9, okay, is that a man may plan his way, but God's going to guide his steps. Understand that verse, if you're a believer here today. Is that you may have a plan, but God's going to guide you in the direction He wants to take you in. And detours are things that happen in your life that are beyond your control. And if it was up to you, you wouldn't have them at all. In fact, sometimes they can be tough. At times they can make you question if God truly is in control. Sometimes it'll get you even question, God, do you know what you're doing? Right? Because it's something that happens. It's something that gets in your way. And you're saying, Lord, boy, if you just follow my plan, things would work out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And yet there's this detour here. It's beyond your control. It's not your fault. And now you're either stuck, right? You're stuck. And you're saying, God, why me? That becomes the question. Or you're traveling so far what you think is off track, so far out of the way, you're saying, God, you had to have known this was going to happen. Now, guys, I'm going to give you a few examples, but I can't tell you that don't get honed in on that this is all I mean. Detours come in all different shapes and sizes. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been a believer very long, detours are going to happen. Detours are the things that God takes you on that were unexpected and sometimes are not really a whole lot of fun. But yet, through the experience, you've learned to trust Him better. So many different things can be a detour or can be a stoppage, if you will. You know, it's like some people, I had one person tell me not long ago. They said to me, Jeff, cancer was not in my plan. Right? I'm not sure it's in anybody's plan. But when they said that to me, I knew exactly what they were saying because I agreed with them. Wouldn't be in my plan either. And yet we begin to ask the question, God, why is this happening? We begin to ask the question, why is this here? God, I've been following you. I've been following you all the way. So why is this happening? But it doesn't have to be as drastic as an illness or a sickness. It can be some other sort of thing, you know, a trouble at work, a layoff, which happened here a few years ago. A lot of people who were used to having this particular job, they've had it for 10, 15, 20 years. All of a sudden they got laid off. And now it's like, you know, God, why is this happening? Or we said, God, why is this? You know, why did they get ill? Or why did we do this? Or why did that? And it's so incredible, these detours, because they happen in all of our lives. In fact, you can ask the guys that are in our creative team. There are so many biblical examples. I mean, it's almost every example. These guys and gals in the scriptures had detour after detour after detour. And it comes down to the question, can you trust God when it doesn't make sense? Because it's not going to make sense a lot of times. Right? So let's jump into this, okay? Let's just jump into this. I'm going to give you a couple of biblical examples, and then I'll give you some common everyday examples. But everybody in the room, if you've been a believer for very long, okay, you've had these questions. Because in whatever it is you do or whatever direction you're going, you're going to hit roadblocks, you're going to hit detours, and you're going to get to the question of, God, I thought if I followed you that my road would be easier. That's not the truth, by the way. Jesus told us that, right? He says the narrow is the way, the hard is the way that leads to life, right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. So don't look for easier, right? But here's the one thing you can always count on. Is that Jesus promised He would never leave you or forsake you. So whatever detour you hit, He's there. And there's a reason for it, even though you can't see it right now. Okay, before I go into any other biblical examples, let me just throw one out to you that's easy to explain. I don't know if y'all remember the story. When Jesus is walking along, and He's got His disciples with Him, and there's this guy over here, and he was blind. And he was born blind. And His disciples asked Him, Jesus, hey, Jesus, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin that was the reason he was born blind? Okay. Now, this is something that'll help you if you'll hear me. Because a lot of people begin to carry around these guilt things that the reason that this detour is here is because there was some horrid sin in my past. And you attach everything to it. And so you walk around with this guilt, almost like, well, you know, I deserve this detour. I mean, there are so many sick ways we can go for this. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus looked back at the disciples and said, neither sinned. This man was born blind for the glory of God. Because, you know, if you know the story, you know, what did Jesus do? He healed him. And all of a sudden, this guy became a living testimony to what Jesus could do in someone's life. Okay? Whew, but think about it, guys. It's a tough one. 40 years being blind for the glory of God. How about that road? How about that detour? That's a tough one, isn't it? But God had a purpose, and it had nothing to do with anybody's sin. And in reality, none of us deserve anything, right? I mean, I even know folks, it's funny. I even know folks that, you know, they go through their house, you know, and they stub their toe. And the worst one's the little one, the pinky one, you know, and it just screams at you. At first it doesn't hurt, but you know it's coming. And it goes, wah! And then it screams at you, right? And then you're walking around, and then you say to yourself, oh, I know why that happened. It was that bad word I said at lunch the other day. You know, and so you're trying to fix something with some painful event in your life. You're trying to fix it with some kind of karma, right? Some kind of something that, well, you know, I deserve that. You got to get out of that mindset. If you're in Christ today, I want you to know that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And God is at work in your life. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. But don't miss this. But God is at work in your life to teach you to trust Him. Think about it, guys. What is the best way to get you to trust Him? Put you in situations that you have to trust Him. I got no other choice. I'm sitting in traffic, God, and I can't get out. I'm stuck. And God, if you don't unstick me, I'm going to be stuck here forever. Right? We may try a few things, you know, get into the median, you know, and get stuck in the mud in there. I've seen cars do that too, right? We've all seen everything, right? And so, as we think about this, I could give you example after example, because sometimes the reason we have detours, for this case, it was the glory of God. But there are many different reasons that we have detours. Some that you may not know about for the rest of your life, some that you will know about. We'll give you a couple examples, fun examples. Okay. First example I want to give you, a biblical example, is Joseph. Okay, Joseph's entire childhood was a detour. Okay, if you don't know the story, we're going to share it with you real quick, but I want you to see this. Because God's plans are a lot different sometimes than your plans. That's why the original verse, right? A man plans his way, but God guides his steps. So, are your plans what are most important, or is it what God wants for you most important? And it becomes a battle sometimes between the two. All right, but Joseph. All right, let's take a look at Joseph here. We're going to read a little bit. Of his story. Okay, and I want you to see it in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes the dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And then they will just tell, you know, they'll tell Dad that a fierce animal devoured him, and we'll see what becomes of his dreams. And Reuben, who was the oldest, heard it. And then he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take this life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into the pit in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. And he was going to come back and try to help him later. Okay? Now, look at verse 26. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Let's sell him. You got to like that. I'm not sure if we want to kill him or just sell him. Well, that shows you where these guys have gotten. So they sell him to a group who are on their way to Egypt. And I'm just going to kind of tell you a little bit of the story. But notice this. If you know anything about Joseph's story, there was nothing that Joseph did that caused his brothers to hate him. So it was not, had nothing to do with Joseph's fault. Okay? And when you think about this, and I was teetering on one way or another to share some things with you, because I want you to pick up on it. Especially some of you who have been through it. Guys, we got a crowd this large. There's some of you that is children. You were abused. I mean, look at Joseph. 17 years old, the guy sold into slavery by his own brothers. Okay, that takes some getting over. Okay? And again, we don't all know why, but we can ask questions why, but they'll run us to the end and we won't be able to get them. But I know, I talk with enough people. These are questions that hit your mind. Why did God let this happen? Some of them we don't know the answers to, but I do know this, is that He is trustworthy. And He can have all things. He can use all things to work together for His good, even something terrible. And I don't know any other way to share it with you than that, other than just keep listening to the rest of the message, because I'm here to tell you, I know what's happening in our world today. I am not oblivious to it. But I'm here to tell you, so much of it, had nothing to do with you. You can't take blame for that one. Why, you know, in the questions that come in your mind, like, well, why did my parents do something? They knew. Why didn't somebody come? And you can beat yourself up with questions, and it can destroy the rest of your life. Or you can learn something here from Joseph. Because if anybody had a reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. And yet he was able to come through it. But I guarantee it wasn't that he didn't have problems and didn't struggle. I know that he did. Well, anyway, let's follow the rest of this story and see how it happened. So anyway, let me just tell it to you. I want you to read it. If you want to take the time to read it, Joseph's entire story is in chapter 37 of Genesis. And then in chapter 39 through chapter 50, if you'd like to read the entire, we have a whole lot of information about Joseph. So anyway, Joseph then is taken, 17 years old, okay? And he's taken to Egypt. And he's sold on the open block as a slave. He goes from being beloved son to slave, all because of jealousy and hatred. And so he's up there and he's sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar looks up and says, oh, well, there's a kid that's well-fed, looks pretty strong to me. I'll buy him. He buys him, takes him home. And Joseph decides, God, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to keep trusting you. And he starts working for this guy. And everything he does succeeds. You can read all about it there. And Potiphar elevates him until eventually Potiphar just commits everything because he sees that Joseph is a pretty trustworthy guy. So Potiphar gets to the point to where he knows nothing that's going on in his household except for the food that he's eating. Joseph is handling everything. Joseph's like the foreman. But you got to remember, this Potiphar guy was a high official of Pharaoh. Okay? And very trusted if you read his position. And so, so anyway, Joseph is doing well. But Joseph's got a problem. He's a good-looking guy. You don't call that a problem. I call it a problem. Good-looking people have more temptations than others. If you're ugly as a stump, you don't have as much to endure. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for that or not, but he's a good-looking guy, right? He's a good-looking guy. The Bible says he's a good-looking guy. Read it. And so anyway, Potiphar's wife notices him. And so she tries to seduce him, and he tells her flat out and says, you know, I can't do that. Number one, he talks about God, so it shows you his relationship with God is still not only intact but thriving. But he said also, he says, my master Potiphar, I mean, how can I betray him? And so he kept saying no, kept saying no. But once there's a time in the house when there's nobody else in the house, and so she grabs him, and he leaves his outer cloak, outer garment with her, and runs out into the street. And then she blames him for rape, and now, imagine how long a slave is going to be in jail if he's accused of rape by a high Egyptian official, his wife. He's going to be in jail the rest of his life. Guys, I'm here to tell you, Joseph's life was a train wreck. Don't you know he had to be thinking, God, I mean, what's happening here? You know, and here's the picture. We don't feel these guys and ladies in the scriptures because we've read chapter 45. But he's still in chapter 39. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? He doesn't know chapter 45 is coming. He still is in 39. And so he's walking through this and he's going, I mean, for 13 years, we are told that he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh at age 30. He was sold into slavery at 17. For 13 years, his life was a detour. And don't you know, we're not told that Joseph ever did, but don't you know that inside, those voices inside, anybody know what I'm talking about, the inner voice? That condemning, ugly voice that says, do you really think God still cares about you? I mean, if he did care about you, then why is all this happening to you? That voice. And sometimes in the quiet places of our life, that voice can seem almost out loud. If it is out loud to you, I don't want to hear about it. But you know what I'm saying? It's that thing inside. The thing we have to battle. Anyway, and so that becomes Joseph's story. Okay, one more story I want to tell you. It's the Israelites. Now, I'll read a little bit, but I'm just going to tell it to you. Israel, you remember the story? Because I'm going to give you these two because I want you to see these pictures of reasons we have detours. They may be the reason for your detour. They may not be. But I want you to see the bigger picture. Now, the Israelites, remember, they were, through Passover, they were set free from their slavery, and they were led out, okay? They were led out of Egypt. Moses led them out. And take a look. Don't try to turn to this. Just take a look at it. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. But the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart before the people. This was one of those great pictures that when they began to become followers of God, they left their slavery, is that God had a physical representation of a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, and they would follow it wherever it went. Now, I'm just going to tell you the story for time's sake, because you know a little bit about it, I'm thinking. So what happened was is that this pillar of cloud's going around, right, and they're following it. And whenever it would stop, they would set up camp. You can read all about it, it's there. And so it led them down to this place right beside the Red Sea. Okay? And so they camped, all 2 million of them. And they all camped along the water. It was perfect, great view. You know, you've got water here. Everything's good. Everything's good. But here's the picture. I want you to know that God led them there. Keep that in your mind. God led them there. Well, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but it's all in that Genesis passage now in chapter 14, I believe, is that Pharaoh's sitting back in Egypt and he's thinking to himself, you know, what have I done? I've just let 2 million people who are our servants, our slaves, go. Who's going to do our work? We might have to work. And so he gets all of his armies and all of his chariots, and he heads after them to get them back. Now, they come up on the Israelites. And the Israelites look up, and what do you think a nation full of slaves does? My favorite word, they freak out. Because there is the most powerful army in the nation on the hill, and they're camped against the water, and they've got no place to run, no place to hide. It looks as though God just led them into a trap and set them there so that they could all get slaughtered. So they start moaning and groaning and whining and griping, because that's what immaturity does. Anytime anyone moans and gripes and complains all the time, it just shows you they're immature, because they haven't been around enough to see how God works. You know what the mature person says? I can't wait to see how God's going to get us out of this one. Why? Because they've been around long enough to see how God works. But the one who gripes and complains and starts blaming everybody, that's the immature one. Anyway, so they all come to Moses, right? And let me just tell you, it's all there. They start saying things like, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? We could all die there, you know. Even one of them said, I told you you shouldn't have taken us out of it. I would rather be alive and serving the Egyptians than dead here in the desert. Exactly what he said. You know what Moses said? This is my interpretation of what Moses said. Shut up. Really what he said, you know, he said, stand still and watch God work on your behalf. But I think shut up sounds better. All right? Because it's like sometimes you hear all that and you just want to just say, shut up. All right? Anyway, so that's kind of the story. But let's see what God did and why they were in the detour. Which comes to number three. Number two is biblical examples. Number three is, can you trust God when it doesn't make sense? And guys, God wants you to trust Him. In fact, He is actively at work. If you're His, if you're on the road, He is actively at work in your life to teach you to trust Him. And that's not always a fun venture. If you think that God is at work in your life to make you happy, you haven't read the Scriptures. Now, you eventually will be happy come next week. All right, destination, you're going to find out happy. But like a good parent, our goal in life is not to make our children happy. It's to teach them. All right, if you believe that your goal in life is to make your children happy, I'm here to tell you your children are going to be self-absorbed and they're going to wind up being miserable. Why? Because that's not the way to happiness. So therefore, sometimes the road is hard that teaches us the most. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody had a road, a detour that God took you down and you went down it? You weren't happy about it, but you went down it. And you look back on it as the best, worst time of your life. You wouldn't trade it for anything for what God showed you about who He was and how much He loved you and how He was actively at work in your life. And it was something you saw. It's just amazing when you put it all together. But I'm here to tell you, when you're in the middle of it, when you're standing by the Red Sea with the army on the hill, when you're locked up in prison, going to probably be there rotting till you die, it's real hard to see it then. So can you trust God when it doesn't make sense? Because I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And don't buy into the unbelievers of our world. They come out of the woodwork every time there's some tragedy. Well, where was God? Where was God? I just want to say, well, you know, you've asked Him to sit out. He sit out. It's all yours now, right? I want to tell our nation. Anyway. By the way, I can go up and open prayer in Congress And yet we can't pray in our schools. Something strange about the world in which we live. But we'll talk about that at another time. Back to this. Joseph, okay? What do you do when God doesn't make sense? What do you do when God doesn't make sense? Right. Here's what Joseph did. All right. If you don't know the story, Joseph told some dreams, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but Pharaoh had some dreams, and Joseph was able to, God gave Joseph the ability to tell him what the dreams meant. You're going to have 7 years of prosperity. You're going to have 7 years of famine. So therefore, you better prepare in the first 7 years so that you can survive during the second 7 years. And so Pharaoh in his own heart knew that Joseph was something extraordinary. And he knew Joseph was right because he'd had the dreams and they made perfect sense. And so through an amazing miracle, God elevated Joseph to second in command in the most powerful nation of their time. He went from slave to prisoner to prince. And that's only a plan, that's only a road that God can mark out for you. Okay? And so now he's busy for during the 7 years. He's busy building all these granaries and storing all this food. And since there's a glut of food on the market, he's able to pick it all up real cheap and store it. In fact, it said he built so many granaries, they were without number. And then the famine came. And here's Joseph, right? He's 30 years old, so 37 is when the prosperity ended. And then 2 years into it is where we pick up here. So he's 39 years old. And imagine, you want to know where Egypt got their wealth. Imagine being the only nation with food for 7 years. And if you want to know where their wealth came from, I mean, think about Egypt. How in the world did they get that wealthy when 90% of their nation's in the desert? Think about it. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, so what happens is that Joseph's brothers show up and they don't know it's him. He knows it's them. He was only 17. You look different from 17 to 39. Anybody want to say amen or anything? I mean, there is a change that comes over you. Not much, not for me, but for a lot of you. All right. So anyway, they come in out. He recognizes them. And so they come and he tests them in a lot of different ways. And I don't have time to talk about it. But every once in a while, God allows you to see the reason for your detours. You may not ever see them, but sometimes you get to see them. And Joseph was allowed to see the reason for his 13-year detour. And he shared it with his brothers. Let's pick the story up in chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph, they're all standing before him, and then Joseph couldn't control himself anymore before all those that stood by him. He says, make everyone go out from me so that no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it. Okay. And the household of Pharaoh heard about it. All right. Continue to read. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him for they were dismayed at his presence. Can you imagine? I don't think they believed it was Joseph. But what they wanted to know was, how do you know about Joseph? Take a look, continue to read. But his brothers could not answer him. Take a look at verse 4. So Joseph said to his brother, come near to me, please. And they came near and he said to them, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now they had to believe it was him. Look at verse 5. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. Boy, that's an amazing thought. How does a guy overcome such abuse as a child? He refuses to harbor unforgiveness and bitterness in his life or her life. But guys, that is not easy to do. You have to have a walk with the Lord to be able to do that. It's almost impossible. It is impossible, but God is the God of the impossible, right? So this is what he says. He's trying to help them out. Oh, don't be distressed by what you did to me. Unbelievable. Also, imagine Potiphar's wife.
You know, can you imagine Potiphar coming home and saying, "Hey, honey, I hope you were telling the truth about Joseph because now he's my boss." You ever thought about that? It's an amazing thought, but we'll talk about that at another time. All right, here we go. Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you're so here. Now, listen to this. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Okay? For the famine has been in the land 2 years, and there are yet 5 years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you that sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and the ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go tell my father. And he says, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to live in the land of Goshen. Okay. So again, obviously, a lot to it is that Joseph is a Jesus figure. He's a savior, right? He was abused, but through his abuse, he preserved the life of his family. Catching the picture? Again, we'll put that when we get, but I didn't want you to not see a little bit of it. But he sees the reason why he's there. God, the detours, the reason for my detours was to save my family's life. That without the detours, they would die in the famine. And so he gets to see it. That was the reason. It wasn't for him. Right? Sometimes you realize, listen to this, that the detours that God puts in your life are for the benefit of others, not yours. And can you be okay with that? Sometimes the detours in your life are for the glory of God. Can you be good with that? Sometimes the detours in your life are to teach you to trust Him. That was the Israelite one, right? Let's go to that story. This is where we'll be done. Remember the story? They're camped out down there. You know, they're freaking out. My word again. They're freaking out. You let us in. You know, shut up. Watch God work. And if you've ever seen the movie, ta-da! You know, and they go scurrying across, right? And there's the pillar of fire or cloud that's blocking the Egyptians' way. And then they all get on the other side, and the Egyptians chase them. And then whoosh. And then they're standing on the other side with their mouths open. And it says, you can read it there in the scriptures, it says that their heart was filled with the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about scared fear, but, wow, God, you really are going to protect us. And so they learned in a deeper way that they could trust who the Lord is because of this experience. So the reason for this detour was to teach them to trust Him. And sometimes you have to be put in perilous situations so that God can teach you you can trust Him. For Joseph, he was put in this detour so that he could save the lives of others. For the man born blind, he was put in his predicament so that God could get glory. Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, it was to keep him dependent so God could keep using him. I could go on and on and on and on and on. Guys, I'm here to tell you, you may not understand why you're on the detour you're on, but I'm here to tell you, you have a God in heaven that loves you and He understands. And can that be enough? Therefore, can you trust Him when it doesn't make sense? Because it's going to happen. That's why I told you at the beginning, some of you are going to say, God, you brought me here today on purpose. Because some of you are right in the middle of it. You're camped by the Red Sea as we speak. And no, I don't know anybody specifically. No, your wife didn't call me and tell me. That's happened to me. Somebody said, did my wife call you? No. All right. I don't know anything about anybody in the room, but I'm here to tell you, with this large of a crowd, some of you are camped right there beside the Red Sea, and God's teaching you to trust Him. And if you fail the test, it's going to happen again. That's the great thing about failing a test with the Lord. He'll just re-enroll you, and you get to do it again. But if you'll learn to go ahead and trust Him, okay, I'm glad that happened, but I don't ever want to do it again. Understanding, God is actively at work in your life, even if you can't understand it. And that's comforting when you've walked enough miles to know that He's always there and has promised to always be with you, even when you can't feel it. Right? He's there when you don't feel it.